I'm going to have a word or two about economics. My first lecture in economics was at university in my first year, and full credit to the lecturer who went through the assumptions of modern economics. And it was things like, we will assume that there are only two products. We know there's lots of products, but if we're going to draw graphs, we'll have two products for a 2D graph, okay? Some of these I was willing to accept, and somehow, I mean, he wasn't expecting a dialogue on this, when he said, let's assume that people are only interested in themselves. I put my hand up and said, well, I'm not only interested in myself, and I know that that assumption is not true. So why would we assume something that we know is false? And his answer was as simple as it was uninspiring. He said, well, we have to assume this, otherwise we can't do economics. And that was about the time exactly the time when I gave up interest in economics. I could think, okay, this is a set of theories which we know are not true, and for some reason people think it's important that I learn them. So I studied a little bit of economics because I needed to pass my course. But I came back to the subject of economics many years later through a chain of circumstances, and basically I had seen that a lot of things that were going on in the world that I couldn't understand and didn't seem to me to be very justifiable in other terms, and they were all traced back to economics. Well, this isn't what we have to do to keep afloat or make money, or this seems unfair but it's good business. And I kept coming back to this money issue. And about 5 years ago, 2004, there was the European Social Forum was in London, and I was at a meeting, and my wife was there. So to communicate with her, I was writing on the screen, because she's deaf and she couldn't hear the discussions. I was just writing notes. And then it occurred to me, well, look, I've taken the minutes of this meeting, and somehow I got involved some more. And then, because I was involved, the organizer said, would you like to present organizing a parallel social forum? And I did. I spoke on the subject of economics, and because I've got a website called altruists.org. I said, well, what's a good name for this theory? And I came up with altruistic economics. And so that was the start of a theory that I developed about how economics could look if it didn't make this assumption that everybody is selfish and interested only in themselves. So, well, it has to make some assumptions. It's a mathematical theory, and simplifying assumptions. It doesn't claim that this is how the world is. It says this is a model. And I at that time I was looking after my granny, who had Alzheimer's. So she had really no long-term memory, and she didn't know what happened 5 minutes ago, for example. That was just gone. So it occurred to me at that time, people would occasionally ring up and try and sell her double glazing and so on. And for some reason I fell to thinking about this, and I looked at us in economic terms. Now, in the model of the traditional economics, because I was a selfish maximizer, then that would predict that I would steal lots of money from my granny. Because why wouldn't I? Because I knew I could get away with it, because she had no memory. I could just say she'd lost the money if anybody even asked. And I wasn't doing it, and of course I didn't feel a failure for that. I felt this is a weakness of the economic model that we have, that assumes the worst of people and then says, well, this is just how people are. People behave badly. It's kind of putting the cart before the horse to make a model that assumes people behave badly and then say, well, yes, this is how people are. So the first concept I came up with was the following thought experiment. If I could steal, if I could benefit £100 through doing something, but it would cost my granny £50, would I do it? Well, I would do it, because then I could get £100 and give my granny back £50, and the two of us will be in profit. I thought, what about if one of these guys rings up and says, Robin, you can benefit £100, but it's going to cost your granny £200. Would I do that? I said, well, no, I wouldn't, because you know, it's costing my granny. So what about if it was the reverse, that it would cost you £100, but your granny would gain £200? Would you do that? I thought, yes, I would, because then I can just take £100 off my granny's purse, and the two of us would be in profit. So I don't want to go too deeply into the theory, but I'm not seeing myself as the unit that must be maximized. I'm looking at myself and people that I care about. So that's the basis of the economic theory, which I put into mathematics because I'm a mathematician. But the idea is quite simple, that relationships matter, that people are not selfish to the extent that they're going to wreck their relationships. And this is not such a complicated foundation, but it has wide consequences. And I bring it back to schooling, where you learn from an early age, probably for many of us, they were crying, and Mum took us to school and dropped us off at school and waved goodbye, and we slowly learnt that life was going to involve a lot of things that were going to make us very unhappy, but that just being unhappy was no excuse and was not going to stop them from happening. So in psychological terms, I see that as a split between home life, which for the child is very centered in a loving environment in which one's needs are met and one is thought about and the demands made are not large, and a work life, which for many of us starts at school, and there's a rhetoric that school is for our benefit and that it's improving us, but in practice most school children seem to have very little choice about how they spend their time and what they do. And I think it's the same for employees. They are given freedom within a certain remit. So they are contractually obliged to follow certain rules and practices, and their creativity is often not valued. In some professions, you have room for this. But to bring this back to economics, why do we have this split? Well, there is an idea that in the workplace, business is business, and survival of the fittest is just how things should be working. And this can be traced back to Adam Smith, who at the time liberated people from an idea that, oh, I'm a blacksmith because my father was a blacksmith and my children will be blacksmiths. So his idea that people could be free from the social roles was a liberation of a kind, and I think that I'm looking forward to a liberation of another kind, that they no longer need be bound by the work ethic, by the ethic that says a lot of the day you will be treating other people badly, you will be ignoring your own values and principles, because you are some kind of slave to a larger system whose needs you have to fulfill or your own needs will not be met. I would like to live in a world of abundance where people feel they are free to express themselves creatively, to express themselves lovingly, spontaneously to the world around them. Now, how could that be possible? I think that's a wish that appeals to many of us. In practical terms, I'm suggesting a new system of accounting, a new system of economics, which is based on this calculus that I've put forward, which values relationships. So in the morning you could look at a piece of software. If you're a doctor, for example, you could bring up a piece of software and say, and ask it the same way you'd Google for a web page, for somebody who you might be able to treat. That would be somebody who's expressed interest in finding a doctor in the same way. If you needed some work done that you weren't able to do, you could go to the software and say, well, I'd like somebody to mend my pipes in my house, or whatever the work was. Or if you need some goods that you weren't able to create, then you could ask the software and it would put people in touch. And it would do so not in an unaccounted way, not in an unaccountable way, but by recording what people thought of what went on. I mean, this is the story of money. There's a story that hard-working people get more money. And if you're lazy, you're not going to get money. And so in some senses, you don't deserve it. Maybe you're stupid. So that story, which seems to fit with a lot of our experience, if you look at it closely, I found that doesn't actually hold water. I mean, the hardest working people are not always the best paid people. Often they're the poorest people. Some of the very richest people are not rich through their own hard work. They maybe work through dirty deeds, or they may have inherited the money. So the question for me is not about appropriation of wealth, and not about taking things by force from people. It's more about a system which is encouraging people to be creative, and encouraging people to value relationships, encouraging them to feel that they've got a personal contribution which is welcome in society.